are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Guys, this is Dave's Good Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey Crockett, broadcasting from the beautiful Sherman Oaks, California. How's everybody doing today? We got a good vibration running in the studio. Oh, could we just soak this up? Can I just say thank you, everybody, for joining us this beautiful, blessed Sunday filled with love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter. Oh, man. Yeah, we're just soaking this energy up. We're just feeling it in the studio. Said ho. I love it, guys. What's going on, Doc Michelle? It is such a pleasure to have you in the studio with us.
It is so nice to be in the studio with us.
What a blessing.
Thank you.
How you doing today, Doc? That's just what I want to know. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You know what? Thank you for coming on. The reason why I brought you on...
Yes?
Do you guys actually think that there is life after death? Now, the reason why I ask you guys is because Dr. Michelle, as you know from On the Couch every Friday at 11, you can't miss it. You know that Dr. Michelle is not only interested, fascinated by this stuff, but she's done research. She's interviewed people. She's read books. She's met authors. She's done everything. She is a guru.
Thank
when it
you.
Comes to this stuff. Not only is she the most amazing psychologist out there.
Oh, boy.
But she is an extremely informed and open-minded individual when it comes to near-death experiences, NDEs, which we will be talking about today. Also, certain alien encounters and things of the extraterrestrial unknown nature. Dr. Michelle, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course, of course. And thank you for coming on. As everybody knows, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. Let's get it started. Doc, first question.
Yes.
As a doctor of psychology.
Yes.
Who knows about the brain, mm-hmm. right? You know about
sort
the brain. You know how it works. Kind of, sort of. You only attended 8 years of schooling having to do mm-hmm. with that stuff. Hmm. What is your take on NDEs? Listeners, NDE, near-death experience. Put it in your head.
Right.
Here we go.
Near-death experience, yeah.
What's your take on it?
You know, I've interviewed a lot of people who've
right.
had
near-death experiences. Listeners, being an experience where you almost die, but you come back to life, right? Just so we know, just so we're all on the same page. So you've interviewed many people with NDEs. Go on.
Yes. But I would like to correct you on one quick thing.
Please do.
Not almost died. Clients who I've had.
Okay.
People whose books I've read.
Right.
The famous Dr. Eben Alexander. The neurosurgeon.
Wow.
Who was all about brain.
Right.
He was a surgeon on brains.
Right. A neurosurgeon. Right.
Yes. He died.
Okay. He died.
He had, I think, an aneurysm.
Okay. Wow.
Went out.
That's insane.
And his book, by the way, is called Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife. So that gentleman was all over the place,
okay,
media-wise.
Okay.
Okay.
So he died, and he came back to life.
He died.
He died.
His brain cells, his brain, clinically dead.
Shut off.
Yes.
Now, Doc, what? Sorry, go on.
That's it.
Okay. Now, he died, right? His brain shut off, mm-hmm, clinically dead, pronounced dead.
Right.
Boo, flatline.
Right.
Okay. And then he comes back to life.
Yeah.
What does he say?
He says, first of all, you know, as a neurosurgeon, I'm quoting him now,
okay,
because
quote,
I prepared for this show.
Quote, right.
As a neurosurgeon, I didn't believe in the phenomenon of near-death experiences. I grew up in a scientific world. He was the son of a neurosurgeon.
Okay.
So he's an academic guy. You know, he does surgery, understands the brain.
Right.
He said there is no scientific explanation for the fact that when my body was in a coma, my inner self was alive and well.
Yes.
Well, the neurons of my cortex were stunned to complete inactivity.
Right.
My brain-free consciousness journeyed to another larger dimension of the universe.
Yes.
Something he's never imagined.
Right.
He said, you know, pre-coma would have, you know, would been easier to explain. But the fact is his brain was gone.
Right. There was no signals emitting
right
from his brain.
Yeah.
But he remembers having a life force. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay. Go on.
He says, well, what I saw and learned there has placed me quite literally in a new world, a world mm-hmm where we're much more than our brains mm-hmm and bodies. Mm-hmm. Death is not the end of consciousness, but a chapter in a vast and incalculably, I can't say that word very well, positive journey. So throughout his book, Proof of Heaven, he talks about his journey and what he saw. Now, you know, I think it's awesome because
yes,
there's scientists out there that counter him.
Right, right. Okay.
You know, a famous scientist chick, she's the...
So there's scientists
yeah
out there that are saying things
right
to oppose him,
oh, yeah,
saying like, okay, well, you know, what you're saying is,
right,
is false. What you're saying is not true. So, Doc, I remember, because we were talking about this before the
uh-huh
show, we were talking about
yeah
this specific scientist,
mm-hmm,
this neuroscientist,
mm-hmm,
and you said that his colleagues scolded him for this.
Well, yeah. See, there's this... psychologist, you've probably seen her on TV shows.
Okay.
You've seen those NDE shows, right?
Right.
And then they have that British lady come on. She's that psychologist.
What's her name?
Susan Blackmore.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of folks who were against the doctor who wrote the book,
right,
Eben Alexander, they say, okay, here's the deal. The tunnel and the light that you're describing,
right,
Eben, might result from a lack of oxygen to the visual cortex. Wait, I'm not done. Abnormal activity in the temporal lobes can cause flashbacks.
Of course.
A sense of pleasure results from endorphin release.
Yes.
Right, we all get that.
Yes.
Right, when we're dying.
Right.
After being resurrected, people sometimes claim to have witnessed the events happening around them while they were clinically dead, but these accounts could result from informed guesswork mm-hmm or false memories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question mm-hmm is,
I have an issue with that.
If this is happening,
yeah,
why do people like Dr. Alexander
right
and people like
right
one of my friends, Mary Jo Rapini, who's
right
a psychotherapist, who wrote Is God Pink,
right,
why, I ask, do they report seeing people who they'd never known?
Right.
Why do they report seeing, and they've never had pictures of?
Right.
And they describe these pictures,
mm-hmm,
and someone in their family who's still alive,
right,
possibly their parents, validate, oh my God,
oh
that
my
was
God
your Aunt Mary.
And that was your great-great-grandmother.
That's right.
That, yeah.
And then, you know, so
okay
what I'm wondering is, you know, like Jung said, we all have these ancestors. We all, well, you know, in our minds, we all have this information already built into our minds. Maybe archetypes. But have we
okay
been here many times and we know these people from past lives?
Okay.
Or do we really go into that heaven place and for the first time meet those who've passed?
Ooh, okay. So as listeners know, we have a loaded show. We have a loaded show.
Yeah.
I get, You know, when you are passionate about something, you get that fire in your stomach. You start to like, you want to say something or you want to do something to change or alter. Well, that's what I just got in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very passionate about this. Mm-hmm. I think that understanding the physical realm and making a noticeable, a visible, a visible connection, mm-hmm. a visible bridge between body and spirit is one of the most important things in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so passionate about it. I feel like part of the reason why I incarnated at this day and time mm-hmm. was to talk about it, right?
That's great.
Now, there's a bunch of people, there's millions of people that will say the same thing. I promise you, mm-hmm. right? If you just look up some forums, meet some people, mm-hmm. go to a few channeling sessions or, you'll vibe with the same people.
Oh,
So what I'm saying by this is when I hear doctors, when I hear neurosurgeons, when I hear scientists saying, listen, there is a scientific explanation for your so-called out-of-body experience. Let me say it's a lack of oxygen. That's what the light is. Okay.
I
understand. Now I get it. I get it. Okay, I get it. Now the reason why I empathize. Now not sympathize. Empathize. Mm-hmm. I feel. I have a similar feeling. A similar story, not story, but similar idea, as the doctor that stated he had an out of body experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I'm not going to get into this, but. When I was younger, I had an experience where I full on, 100%, me and two of my friends entered a alternate dimension, right?
Okay.
Now, I know that we're talking about near-death experiences. Well, a part of me died that night. I'll tell you, absolutely.
What part?
The part that thought that this is all that was here.
Okay.
The part of David that was like, you know what? All that exists is this physical reality, and that's all that I know,
mm-hmm.
and that's all that we're operating in. That part died. It is no longer. Because me and two of my friends actually entered this. I did some research on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a real place of consciousness, right? They talk about it in certain books. They talk about it in the intention experiment. It's called a jello-y reality, right? Well, that's not what it's called, but what it is, it's like a jello-y malleable reality. Basically, the point of it, I'm not going to get into it.
Yes.
That's not the point. The point is, I came back and I tried explaining this, and me and my two other friends that I experienced this with tried explaining this to our other friends and our parents and other people. And the response that we got back from this was, you're just hallucinating, like, were you smoking pot? And we were like, oh, well, yes, we were. Well, you were hallucinating. Right. Well, listen, you're doing that, but we were also meditating, and we were also in this super heightened state of, right. But the whole time, still to this day, it's just, well, you were hallucinating if I talk to it with friends. But still, me and my two friends together, we will always sit down and be like, no, that fucking happened. We don't care who anybody, what anybody says. We know what we saw. We experienced what we experienced. That was crazy. Now, with this doctor that we're talking about, for him to have this near-death experience and his colleagues to look at him and laugh at him, for his colleagues to look at this research and this, well, not necessarily research, but the experience, right, that he had, and to laugh at him, I empathize at that. I empathize with this individual because I know that feeling of you're just like, oh my God, this happened.
Right.
Right? But now I'm talking about this on a collective basis, right? Now let's take that gentleman, the doctor,
mm-hmm.
and I got a question for you coming up, Doc. I'm gonna
no
pass
problem,
right
no
you.
Problem.
This all has a circle. This all has resonance, right? On a collective level, okay, let's take these doctors and these people and all these whatever that are having these out-of-body experiences and the doctors that are doing the research to back up NDEs, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we have the general population looking at these and being like, no, that's just a product of a lack of oxygen. That's just a product of an unstable consciousness, right?
Right.
That's just a product of not enough dopamine, or whatever, or too much dopamine. Okay?
Yep.
We then find ourselves living in an extremely ignorant world. Okay? Doc, my question for you is, why do you think most medical doctors in today's industry are so opposed to admitting to the reality of near-death experiences?
Because I think they study the brain, and like Susan Blackmore and others, many others, you know, they know the facts, you know, in the, ER, about people dying and then coming back. They know the facts.
But do they know the facts?
Well, they say between 6 and 12% of cardiac arrest patients report having an NDE.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
But then the doctors are monitoring them, and they say such perceptions can result from trauma.
Okay.
Indeed. We go to the, you know.
But if you're
place.
Dead.
Let me finish.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Trauma.
I always do that.
Fear. Drugs. Right?
Right.
There's so many brain mechanisms for survival going on.
Right.
Too much or too little oxygen, too much carbon dioxide, the blocking of the glutamate receptors, as they call them, right?
Totally.
And descriptions of these kind of glimpses go back thousands of years.
Yes, they do.
And you know, there's typical kind
of explanations.
To the dawn
of man.
Right. You got the buzzing or ringing as you move through a dark tunnel. Now, I've had the buzzing and ringing. I've had that experience
when you sleep,
many
sleep
times.
When you go to sleep?
It's that hypnagogic or hypnagogic, whatever you want to call it. It's more of an alpha brain right before you go to sleep.
Right.
I've been exhausted, and you're relaxed, and then the buzzing starts.
Right.
You hear ringing or buzzing. You go. Now, I've never been through a dark tunnel because it's been so overwhelming, that buzzing in my head coming closer and closer and closer, that I've had to literally push myself up to get out of it because it was very scary.
Okay.
So I didn't want to go there.
I understand
maybe
that.
I don't know. But that was from sheer exhaustion. So they say that people who have had heart cardiac arrest, you know, brain aneurysms, whatever, the need to survive takes over, and you're experiencing all these strange chemical releases, like we said earlier. So that's, you know.
So, Doc, that's why you think most medical doctors in today's industry are so opposed to admitting to the reality.
Well,
to admitting that near-death experiences and people actually leaving their physical bodies and their quote-unquote spirit or soul going on to another dimension and coming back, they will not admit to this being real. Okay, they will admit to this being a hallucination or a product of some chemicals in the brain.
Correct.
Right? As opposed to literally, dimensionally going somewhere else. As opposed to your soul. Okay, you no longer have your human construct. You are now an etheric construct, right? So they don't believe in that. Okay, that's fine. That's cool. To each is their own, and that's beautiful, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And that I have... Just so people know, the vibration station, right, has no, we don't put anything down, right? We're not, I mean, unless you hurt somebody, we're going to put that down. But we don't put any beliefs down. We are totally all about it. We're just trying to get down to the bottom of it, right? We have our own things. We know what works for us, right? But we're just trying to say, well, here's the facts. You know, we're trying to throw it out in here and be like, well, this is the possibility. This is really could be happening. And we think that there is an awesome transition going on in the human race right now. We think that awesome things are happening. Okay.
And you also said, you said something earlier about, you know, there's a lot of ignorant people out there. I don't know if they're ignorant. I think they could just be skeptical and fearful.
Right. Well, fear, right?
Yeah.
Fear
is
ignorance.
Yeah.
Okay. To be fearful. Right? Because to even have fear, to have that vibration in your consciousness of fear is an ignorant vibration. You are ignorant to how useless fear actually is.
Yeah.
Right? Well, yes, fear can be helpful, and fear can teach you things, and fear can aid and assist in many different ways, and fear can actually lead you to the understanding that you don't need to be fearful. The only purpose that fear serves is to show you that you don't need it in your life.
Right.
Seriously.
Right.
Okay. So going off of that, going off of your explanation to me why most doctors won't accept near-death experiences, my next question for you, Doc, is do you think eventually, okay, with doctors like with actual neurological doctors, a neurological doctor having a near-death experience, and somebody that studied this for years coming out and being like, listen, there's more than we think. Okay?
Yep.
Now, if you think more and more of these keep happening,
yep,
and you think more and more people keep having these near-death experiences, and we get somehow, some way, some scientists start to do some research, which they already are doing, on near-death experiences. Doc, my question for you is, do you think eventually near-death experiences, NDEs, will be recognized not as a theory or a possibility, but as a fact in science? That is a bold question.
Very bold. Maybe in the future. I mean,
how far in the future?
I have no idea. I interviewed.
I have a theory, but I want to hear yours first. I don't want to hear mine.
Something that was pretty cool is I interviewed last Friday Dr. George Pratt.
Oh yeah, awesome! He's, checked that show out, by the way.
Thanks, honey.
Wonderful.
He's the
show.
Author of the book Code to Joy.
Code to Joy, right?
And it's about all getting his, getting his patients and getting everybody up to speed. It's self-help on how you can, that experience that you have. Okay, this is going to answer your question.
Okay.
That experience that we all have about feeling pure joy for several seconds, we can't explain it, and then it kind of goes away.
Right.
Right?
Yes, I resonate.
Right? We can have that a lot of the time, he says.
All the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And he told me that 100 universities in the country, huge universities.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes. Yes, let's hear this.
Are doing studies on energy work.
Yes.
Energy, which comes out of the body and into the body.
Thank you.
Energy work.
Thank you.
So he said it's here. It's happening.
Thank you.
But all medical doctors know is what they study in medical school, and they want the facts and the labs, and they want the CAT scans and the MRIs and that. And you can't blame them because they're curing us of cancer. But we need to know a little bit and other disorders, diseases, research, but we need to know exactly what some alternative ways are.
Right, exactly. That is a huge thing, Doc. So, to answer, you didn't answer my question. Do you think eventually near-death experiences will be recognized not as just a theory or a possibility, but as a fact in the science community?
I guess what I was saying when I was talking about at this particular time in our early life, as Homo sapiens on this planet.
We're not,
100 universities are studying energy work,
is
great. So what I'm saying is, I don't know when, but possibly it's going to be accepted with enough people who come forth and can report so boldly as Dr. Alexander did in his book that they were brain dead.
Yes.
And they took a journey. If we have more and more of these reports, maybe it will inspire folks to do more work that exists on that level. But I don't know when.
Okay.
I think there will always be skeptics, so I don't know if everyone's going to ever accept. But maybe in the future, nearer future, they may have more information about what's happening rather than, what this British doctor says about the neurological
Right.
So I think, I think more people will believe in it, and it's,
So you think eventually, that our collective society is not ready right now to completely accept near-death experiences as a fact in science?
No.
Right? Okay, but you think that eventually within the next...
I have no idea.
20 years?
No.
More?
Oh, God, more. Much more.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, Doc.
Sorry. It's going to take a long time.
What do you think, 50, 100?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But if research continues...
I have a different theory.
I want to hear it. Look, with your generation, let me just say this. With your generation being open-minded to different possibilities and very, very focused, as I see and read, in energy work and in the power of the mind, all right? I believe that your generation will accelerate that knowledge, given the right tools to observe it and have it in laboratories and all that stuff.
I agree.
Yeah, I think you guys will amazingly. I mean, what are you, 21 almost now?
Yes.
Yeah, in 20 years, I think with people like you who are very open-minded and able to research, I think it's going to be accelerated a great
deal.
Thanks,
Doc. I appreciate that.
What is your take on that?
We are rapidly changing.
Mm-hmm.
Just last year, for the first time, there was a this huge dictatorship fell in Egypt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That was up for thousands of years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know this happened like 5-6 years ago. Saddam Hussein, his statue was pulled down. Do you know what I'm saying? It was maybe longer than that. All these things are happening in this 10-year span, right?
Yes.
Doc, there's so many things that is happening in our world right now that we have no idea about. I was watching a show last night called Alien Encounters, okay?
I love those shows.
Of course, of course, of course. Awesome shows. Right, but there are these people, just regular people, and I'm going to tell you, Doc, like, I've seen those shows before, and there's people on there that seem really real, and they seem cool, and then they tell their stories, and then they're put under hypnosis, and then all these things come up. Doc, there's this woman on the show last night.
Yeah.
And I've never in my life, like, you know, I try, as much as I believe, I still play the devil's advocate.
Good.
Because I feel like the only way to get a true answer is if you question what you want to believe.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you're just going to be biased.
Right.
Right?
You're so you're drinking the Kool-Aid, baby.
Exactly. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. Yeah. So you need to, like I'm saying, this is just showing the listeners that I'm just not throwing in the towel, right?
Okay.
So if listeners are going to listen to me, I want them to know that I doubt my own shit. And I back it up by,
reading.
By reading, by facts, by information.
Yeah.
And by intuition.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
So this woman was like so unbelievably real. She starts saying, just off the bat, she goes, listen, I don't care if you guys believe me. You don't have to believe me. I know what happened. I know what I saw.
Right.
I know what's been happening my entire life. I'm just here to tell a story. Off the bat, you're like, okay, cool. That's cool. But as this woman starts getting into it and into it and into it, you can see in her eyes.
Yeah.
You can see in her body language. Mm-hmm. You can see in the way that she's talking that there is this honesty. There is this truth.
Yeah.
And there is this fear. Right.
Yeah.
We have a caller on the air. We're going to take this. How you doing today? You're live on the air. Dave's Vibration Station. Who are we speaking to?
Well. Okay.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in.
Maybe they were abducted.
They probably were. We're just playing around. Well, if you guys want to call in, you can do so 323-203-0815. Once again, that's 323-203-0815. 15. You can also email me, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Once again, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. If you're just tuning in with us, we are talking about near-death experiences. Oh, pretty much every aspect of a near-death experience, whether, you know, science is going to pick it up eventually, whether you believe in it or not, whether a near-death experience is actually just a lack of oxygen in the brain, or if it is, you actually tapping back into a more divine source, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got Dr. Michelle in the studio with us today.
Hi, Dave.
Such a blessing if you guys are just tuning in with us.
Great to be here.
Make sure to check her out every Friday, latalkradio.com, channel 1 at 11, Dr. Michelle on the couch. Can't miss her.
Thank y'all.
So what I was just in the middle of talking about, we got a caller. By the way, if you want to call back, you can do so 323-203-0815. Once again, 323-203-0815. What I was talking about is my philosophy on whether near-death experiences are going to be accepted into. I was talking about how this, and I promise this all leads up. I was watching Alien Encounter last night, and this lady on the show was totally honest with herself.
That's on the bio channel?
It's on the bio channel,
cool.
Yeah. So. I'm explaining this all leads up,
I promise. No, it's good.
So this lady, right, is like, Now, the question is, I asked Doc, do you think near-death experiences will be recognized not as a theory, but, but as a fact in science, and if so, when?
Mm-hmm.
She said that she thinks it's going to be longer than 20 years, longer than 30 years, but with this upcoming generation, So what I'm saying is, with shows out there like Alien Encounters, with this woman, like I was saying, I've never seen such honesty in her eyes. With more people that keep coming out like that, I guarantee you there's at least three or four people last night that were watching that show that woman changed their perspective of whether they're...
I bet you.
Because if you were to see what this woman was saying, the honesty behind her eyes, she's like just this blonde-haired lady, curly blonde hair, like mid-30s.
Right.
She's like, listen, ever since I was 6 years old, there are these beings that have been coming for me. I thought that it was normal. This is what she goes. She goes, when I was six, she goes, I thought that that's just what happened every night. The bald men would come and take me.
Yeah.
And I would wake up and I wouldn't remember anything.
Right.
And then they put her under hypnosis. And then she said that she started to remember. And then she said that she woke up in this, like, in this cocoon, okay? In like, but I'm not even going to get into it. It's so, like, you need to watch the show and you need to listen to what she has to say. If you're interested, bio channel Alien Encounters. But what I'm saying is, with this type of disclosure, and these type of people that are so passionate about their stories that this actually happened to, with people like the doctor,
Yes.
And with my generation and your generation, Doc. Conscious people in your generation, people that understand that it is in their hands to really lead this positive wave. Now, my generation, I think that there is absolutely an acceleration of consciousness, an acceleration of kids that are being born now, the generation before myself, so, you know, whatever the newest generation is, and my generation. There's kids that are being born with this star knowledge, this information, this, seriously, I'm not even kidding, listeners out there, parents of kids that have five-year-olds, sit down with them and ask them something about, like, the stars or about the universe.
Yeah,
or about,
you don't have to freak them out.
Don't freak them out. No, but just ask them.
Have you ever gone out of your body before?
Seriously? No, why not?
Well,
that's not a weird... Have you ever been in the stars?
Yeah. Have you ever dreamed?
Have you ever dreamed of something? I guarantee you, if you look for it, you're gonna find things that will blow your fucking mind.
Yeah.
Excuse my French. You will. One of my really close friends, growing up, his name's Cash. When he was like 6, 7 years old, he would talk to his mom about being a farmer. In China.
Right.
A Chinaman farmer. He was like, I'm this 50-year-old dude. I'm a rice farmer in China. Okay, what? He's like five. Okay, that's not the point. The point that I'm getting to is, with all of these things and all of this information, yes, NDEs, near-death experiences, will be recognized, not as a theory, but as a fact in science, easily within the next 10 years.
Right.
I'm going to say 10.
Okay.
I'm going to say 10.
All right.
Because I think that by the year 2015, everything's going to be different. There's a lot of things. I know, 2 years. I know, that's bold. But watch, 2 years, so much stuff is going to happen in this 2 years to our society. Okay. But good things, great things, great
good.
Things.
I like to hear that.
In 2015 is the start, supposedly.
Okay.
That's when the engine starts for this new age, right?
Okay,
so,
all right.
Yes, they will be recognized as a fact in science. Doc, my next question for you.
Yes.
How do you think this will change the medical field? Okay, let's say near-death experiences are recognized. Bam, tomorrow comes out, oh my God, we found scientific evidence that there is a spirit molecule. Oh my God, we found scientific evidence that when a person dies, you actually do tap into an astro. You actually do go to this alternate dimension. And oh my gosh, we realize that, you know, this is way beyond medication. This is way beyond a synthetic thing that you can, you know, that you can imitate, right? Nuh-uh. Okay, question. How do you think this will change the medical field? Not only how will it change the medical field, but going off of that, how will it change people's understanding of the reality that they live in?
That's a heavy... Those are two really difficult questions.
That's why I'm asking you, Doc.
I have no idea.
You think it's all a piece of cake coming on the vibration station? You got to use your head.
I want to be I want to be just talking about easy things.
We got to use our brain, Doc. Just messing.
What's going to happen?
You use more of your brain than myself.
I don't know about that. Okay, so what's going to happen to the medical community?
What's going to happen to the medical community, yeah, to the medical field? What do you think is going to happen?
If we find out that
there's scientific evidence that near-death experiences are not just
chemically induced,
but oh my gosh,
yeah,
souls, we have souls, that's oh my gosh, wait, let's take an electromagnetic graph, shows a soul on a graph, okay? Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, we have, because doctors like to see graphs, they like to see numbers, okay?
Right.
Say we made a graph where you can see a soul.
Okay.
Say we graph that.
Cool.
And then we graft this out-of-body experience that we can actually electromagnetically check on the soul, not the brain, because the brain's donezo, but the soul. Okay?
All right. Cool.
This is proof. How does it affect the medical field, the medical community?
Probably not well, especially if you're trying to heal people and if you know that people are going to a, quote, better place, possibly. Maybe the emphasis from a lot of people out there will say, you know what, just let me go. I'm tired of being on this earth in this darn body.
And that's bad?
No, I don't think it's bad.
No.
But I think for the medical community in general, their job is to heal. Their job is to save lives on this particular planet. Right. So if they're saving lives, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's a heavy question. But I mean, it would be, you know, it would sort of, if people are saying, wow, now we know that there is an afterlife and a soul, I am really tired of this body that's been painful and, you know, I've had eight heart attacks and I'm really tired of this BS. Just let me go.
That's awesome for that.
That's beautiful. Right. But I think in terms of the medical community, their oath, their Hippocratic oath, hippocampus. That's the brain structure that stores memory. The Hippocratic oath says, you know, I will save lives.
Right.
I will save lives. I will do everything I can.
Right.
So, I mean, their Hippocratic oath is sort of out the window there. Because we have these laws about, you know, enabling someone to die.
So, okay. So here's the thing. Now, you want to get deep?
Yeah, I want to get deep.
Hippocratic oath. Okay. To keep somebody alive.
Right.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Don't you think that if NDEs were introduced as a fact, right, okay, that this would maybe change science, not for the worse, but for the better, by almost forcing doctors and scientists to find new alternate ways of keeping people alive?
Yeah.
New alternate ways of healing people?
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the world, you need to check out this video. It's literally, I know, you're going to be like, it's fake, it's not real. Okay, well, you know what? You can call it for yourself. This is, a video that's hosted by, it's this 9-minute video, okay? It's hosted by Greg Braden, who is, he's a quantum physicist, okay? But he's also a scientist, right? Mm-hmm. An extremely intelligent individual, to say the least.
Yeah.
Like, extremely intelligent, to say the least.
Yeah.
Well, he's hosting this video, and he talks about how energy can actually be used to heal and get rid of cancer or anything way better than any medication. People, the video is called Greg Braden. It's G-R-E-G-G space B-R-A-D-E-N. Okay? Greg Braden, quantum healing of tumor through power of thought and feeling. Greg Braden. Quantum healing of tumor.
Was this done in the Philippines?
Through the power of thought and feeling. This was done in the Philippines.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Now, this video is of this woman that has had a tumor in her bladder for 3 years. She has been through chemotherapy. She has had all the medication in the world. She's had Western medication shipped to her. There's like this. She's this.
Oh yeah.
Like she's done everything to get rid of this cancer. 3 years later, in a desperate hope, somebody approaches her and says, "Listen, have you ever thought of medicationless therapy?"
Yeah.
Right. Therapy or a procedure that does not involve medication, does not involve inducing yourself with a pill or chemotherapy, any form of radiation. She goes, "Well, what do I have to lose?"
Yeah.
They then train her for a few months. I think it's 2 months. They train her how to think. They said, "Listen, the reason why you have this tumor in your bladder, it's not your fault. Because you think. It's because of the way that you think. Don't get down on yourself. Don't say, oh, woe is me, I have this bladder. Say, well, listen, I've chosen to have this. This is my fault, but it's not my fault. Okay? It is okay that I have this. I choose it no more." And then they start breaking down what within her created this, right? All a tumor is a blockage of energy. All like anything is, like a tumor, like any sort of disease, like Parkinson's, do you know, all of this. It's like, yes, there is a physical anatomy that is not in complete resonance. But that is because of something, everything is energy. There's nothing that's physical that isn't energy. Everything that's physical is energy. And everything that's physical is like affected and changed by energy, right? Because it is energy. Yeah. So, listen, what I'm saying, long story short, these three doctors heal this woman in 3 minutes. On the video, left side of the screen, they have a screenshot of the tumor. Right side of the screen, they have a real time with the ultrasound on top of the woman's stomach. Real time of the tumor. 3 minutes, these three Filipino doctors chant. They don't touch her, they chant. They are chanting over her, and they start really heavy, and they're like saying something. And then Greg Braden in the video says, "Well, listen, what they're saying is every time they're chanting, they're already agreeing that she's healed. Every time they chant, they're saying she's healed, right?
Right.
But they're believing it, they're envisioning it, they're seeing it. They're not healing her; she's healing herself. What it is." Her belief in them to heal her, which allows her physical anatomy and her energy to align with a new healed body. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Welcome to the new age. So that's what I'm saying. That's how I think that this would affect the medical community. If NDEs, near-death experiences, and proof of a soul, and proof of energy, and proof of all these things come out, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to affect the scientific community. They're going to need to open up.
Yeah.
They're going to need to see that not all the answers are in a pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But actually, all the answers are in your heart.
Right.
Or in your head.
Right. Well, our hearts do have memory cells. So.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Okay, Doc. Mm. I have one final question for you. I really want to ask you this.
Okay.
Did you want something for me?
I just had a couple of responses to what you
said. Oh, let's hear him.
And these are the thoughts that I go through sometimes.
I love it. I want to hear it.
I'm a skeptic to a certain extent.
Good. Okay. We all have to be.
All right. I have an aunt who had a tumor, and she went to the Philippines to get spiritually healed. She was trying anything, and they sort of exposed these so-called famous healers as a hoax.
Okay.
It was sort of cruel because a lot of people came and they spent a lot of money.
Right.
And they were doing this so-called energy work, pulling out things and all that. And, you know, the energy, pulling out the energy. And I don't know if it's because she didn't believe they could heal her.
Right.
I don't know what was going on in her mind because she was saying, oh, I've read so much about, I'm ready to go, I'm ready for these people to heal me.
Okay.
So I don't really know what was going on in her mind. But I was a little disenchanted with these so-called healers, and that's why I asked you if it was in the Philippines.
Okay.
And I've seen the video you're talking about, by the way.
I just want to say something. Oh, Okay, well, I think it's in the Philippines. I assumed that you were just like, I think it's in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's like a...
I'm not saying the Filipinos
no,
are disgusting.
But what I'm saying... I'm
just saying that if it's the same general group.
Right. I understand. Okay. One thing on that, nobody heals anybody else, right? So
exactly.
For your aunt, my thing is...
You have to have an agreement.
My thing is, it's not these people that come out as a hoax, right? Everybody's a healer. Everybody's a healer. It's your envisionment. It's what
right.
you can see.
Exactly.
It's what you allow yourself to see. So, for these people to call themselves healers and then, like, not heal anybody, right? Well, here's the thing. Yes, yes, they should definitely, if they're not putting energy into it and they're not practicing proper, you know, Reiki techniques or whatever it is, mm-hmm. then sure, they should probably learn that. But what it comes down to is anybody can say they're a healer. Anybody can envision white, green, beautiful, gold light
yes.
around another individual.
Yes.
And anybody can set a healing intention. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Your aunt very well could have gone in there. Those people don't even need to be there. She
right.
could close her eyes
right.
and be like, I am healed.
Right.
I am healed.
I agree.
And she could make her thing go away in 3 minutes.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, go on.
I think our minds are so powerful that...
They are.
We can create any situation and destroy any situation.
Of course.
And I've seen this a lot in my practice with people who have anxiety disorders and depression. And
right.
just by going into imagery
yeah.
and truly believing, you have to believe it. You can't just say affirmations and
right.
you know, go to your happy place and try to meditate. That's it.
Right.
So what I'm saying is yes, the mind's so powerful you can create anything you want.
I agree.
But you know, we'll, it's what you go into an agreement with. Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yep. So I think we can create. I don't know if we're responsible for it because there's inheritances genetically. We have
right.
we inherit cancer. We inherit
yes,
problems.
We do. Yes, we do.
But then we have to sort of.
I think that yeah. I truly though I
yeah.
think that inheritances
mm-hmm.
have to do with energetic ties. I don't think that there is anything physical that is not related energetically. Anything that happens to a person physically, there is something occurring on an energetic level that is aiding and assisting whatever that physical practice is.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Everything is energy. There is energy before there is a physical realm.
Yes.
There is an energetic construct before
yes.
there is a physical construct.
Yes.
So anything that is happening physically has to pass through the energetics first.
Yes.
Okay. That's
mm-hmm.
all I'm saying.
Yep. That's true. I agree.
Doc, I have one last question for you. We are running out of time.
Wrap
we have
it.
1 minute left.
I'll answer it
this is a
quick.
Yes or no question. This is just for fun. This is for the listeners. If you could and knew that you would not get hurt, would you want to have a near-death experience?
Yes, of course.
Beautiful.
That would be awesome.
Beautiful. Oh, listeners, friends, lovers, mates. What? A wonderful 50 minutes of our day. I cannot thank you guys enough for sharing this time with us. I am your host, Davy Crockett. We got Dr. Michelle in the studio with us today, generating unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, laughter, and everything in between. This is the show, as you guys know, where we raise your vibrations. We love you guys. Make sure to open up and let some love in. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye. But that's too fast to express how much I love you and all the selfish things you put me through. Well, who am I to judge? I made some stupid choices too. Regardless, I'm just living it up. I'm blind to the negativity. Floating in a golden lotus. That's where I'll be. This experience is such a blessing. Motherfucker, stop asking questions. Your soul knows that this defeats the purpose. Close your eyes and let me be your wordsmith. Listen up, y'all, I miss those days. Chilling on the moon with the guitar, spitting phrase. But now, I'm in another days. Unconditionally missing y'all in all the silly games like when we used to play and see how fast we can smoke out of roar and burn our trees.